Okay, we're going to call the Tannehill County Planning Commission public hearing to order. You want to establish a quorum, Bob, please?
All right. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Cadell.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
And Brad Lawrence called. Doug Fabian.
Here.
Randy Fogel.
Here.
And Randy Hayes is not here. And Ronnie Melton let us know. And George Kramer.
Is here.
We have established a quorum.
Okay, you want to explain the meeting procedures, please?
I'd like to welcome you to the November 9th, 2015 Tannehill County Planning Commission public hearing. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division 3 permit application which is filed with the Planning Commission staff. At this time, I'd like to enter the Tannehill County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site and any questions for staff. The chairman indicated, if you wish to comment, a public hearing sign-up sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it's your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The Division 3 permit applications heard this evening shall be voted upon during the Monday, November 16th Planning Commission regular meeting. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you so much.
Okay, Bob. First one up is Branson View Campground and Zipline.
This is case number 2015-20.
Thank you.
The project is the Branson View Campground and Ziplines. The applicant is Andrew Darby, and the representative is Dan Boone. The project's located at 2365 State Highway 265, and we've got that highlighted here. And we'll zoom in here to the... It's located in the Branson Township, Section 3, Township 22, Range 22. And we've got a north, south view, and then an east and a west of the property in question. The applicant is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the development of a zipline attraction, and basically they're proposing to add that to the existing RV campground. The background and site history on this: on November 15th, 1968, a portion of the property in question was platted as the Compton Ridge Manor subdivision, with the filing of the plat with the Recorder of Deeds office. And basically you can kind of see this area just right in the front. It's a little hard to read, but it was actually the area that was platted as the Compton Ridge Manor subdivision originally. On May 14th, 1990, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Permit 90-100, authorizing the development of a 90-space RV park with other buildings, referenced as the Branson View Campground. The owner of the property sought to also vacate the Compton Ridge Manor subdivision at the time that the Division 3 permit was issued. However, the staff report from that time indicates that there was not an established process at the time for vacating a subdivision. The subject property consists of two parcels, And both parcels do contain meets and bounds described properties, with the exception of the subdivision platted in the front here. The property in question is a total of approximately 33.67 acres, and it's basically split between the parcel to the north, which contains approximately 28.78 acres, and the property to the south, which contains just a little under 5 acres. Again, the applicant is now seeking a Division 3 permit, requesting approval for a zip line attraction, and they're proposing to add that to the existing permitted RV park use. The current application was approved for concept on September 21st. The public hearing was originally scheduled for October 13th, but was continued until today's date at the request of the representative. The representative has indicated that the proposed zipline attraction will consist of a series of towers linked via zipline, and this indicates kind of conceptually where the towers may be located. The representative has indicated that the exact locations of the supports or structures will be determined by a structural engineer that is evaluating the topography of the property. The towers are to be the only structures really added to the site. The conceptual site plan indicates that it's my understanding that the zipline attraction would originate at the existing building here, and then it's to terminate near an existing service road. Riders would be driven back to the top of the hill via the service road. The applicant has indicated that the existing office, retail store, and restroom can service visitors to the zipline attraction, and essentially the restroom, office, retail store are all located within that same building. The applicant and representative have indicated that they envision minimal removal of trees, with some limbs being trimmed, of course, to put in the zip lines. The attraction would originate near the existing building. The representative has indicated that the existing parking area in front of the store, and also there's a parking area that I don't show on here, well, I guess I do, near the pool, would be utilized as parking for the zip line as well. The current parking at the site is fairly limited. However, there would be more than adequate space on the approximately 33.67 acre property for additional parking if needed in the future. Of course, the applicant's proposing to utilize the two existing entrances, and then they would utilize the existing restroom facilities within the building. The Branson View Campground is currently served by a wastewater treatment facility that's regulated by the Missouri Department of Natural Resources. The staff recommends that a condition be placed on the permit requiring the applicant to provide documentation from the DNR indicating that the existing wastewater treatment facility will have adequate capacity to serve both the existing RV campground and also the proposed zipline attraction. The representative has indicated that the Branson Landing zipline will create a number of year-round jobs and also part-time jobs. Of course, jobs will also be created via the planning, design, and construction of the project. The adjoining property immediately to the north is the Vineyards condominium development, which is located inside the city limits of Branson. The adjoining property immediately to the south is actually a warehouse right here, with vacant property being located further to the south. The adjoining property to the east is predominantly vacant, and the adjoining property to the west is, of course, State Highway 265, with really kind of a combination of commercial and office uses being located further to the west. The project received a total score of 11 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 51. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and slopes. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves Division 3 permit 2015, and it should be 2015-20, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, the applicant shall submit compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, and the Missouri State Fire Marshal's Office, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature. Third, documentation shall be provided to the Planning Department from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources, indicating that the existing wastewater treatment facility will have adequate capacity to serve the addition of the zip line attraction. Said documentation shall be submitted prior to issuance of certificates of conformance. For a copy of the Missouri State Fire Marshal's amusement ride operating permit shall be provided to the Planning Department prior to the issuance of Division 2 certificates of conformance. Five, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Six, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Seven, Division 2 permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And eight, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got just a couple of pretty brief videos. And just did a quick 360 here at the front. And this, of course, is the existing building that contains the restrooms and office and store. And this is the view, of course, where we would be looking at the actual zip line attraction. And it would originate from somewhere close to where I'm located. And actually, the second video just has, we went out twice since we posted the signs twice, so I don't really, don't think it really has the other information, but.
Okay, Dan, you want to come up?
I'm Dan Boone. I'm the representative for Branson View Campground Zip Lines, and I have no additional comments to add, but I'd be willing to answer any questions.
Anybody got any questions for Dan? No.
How many restrooms does the existing building have?
Four.
That'd be plenty. Anybody got any questions? Well, I guess we will see you next Monday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, we got Woodbridge Estates, Phase 2.
This is case number 2015-22. The project is Woodbridge Estates Phase 2 Nightly Rental. The applicant is SMBZ LLC, or Steve Creedon. And the representative is on this is Tim Davis. The property in question is located at Jamie Court and Woodbridge Estates, and it's located just right here. And we'll zoom into the property here. And it's accessed via Lakeshore Drive here. And for whatever reason, when I go to highlight this, it always shows the first one as blue for whatever reason. this is, again, it's located at on Jamie Court and Woodbridge Estates Drive in the Scott Township, Section 33, Township 23, Range 21. And we've got a little hard to get all this in one shot, but we've got a view from the north and from the south, and then from the east and west. The applicant, SMBZ LLC, is seeking Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 permit allowing the 19 lots within Woodbridge Estates Phase 2 to be utilized for nightly rental. The background on this, on December 10th, 2004, the final plat of Woodbridge Estates Phase 1 was signed by the planning administrator and filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office, creating a two-lot subdivision. And so it was essentially Lot 1 and Lot 40. On December 20th, 2004, that same year, the Taney County Planning Commission approved Division 3 permit 0464, which authorizing the development of a 45-lot medium-density residential subdivision to be known as Woodbridge Estates. On September 28, 2005, the final plat of Woodbridge Estates Phase 2 was filed with the Recorder of Deeds Office upon being signed by the Planning Administrator, creating a 37-lot residential subdivision. On July 15th of this year, the Board of Adjustment approved a setback variance request by SMBZ LLC. The board approved a 15-foot setback variance allowing the future residences to be set back from the front property line adjoining Woodbridge Estates and Jamie Court. It'll allow those residences to be set as close as 10 feet from the front property line. The current application was approved for concept on October 19th of this year. The subject property is described as lots 20 through 38 of Woodbridge Estates Phase 2. The applicant, again, is seeking the ability to market and ultimately utilize all 19 lots for nightly rental. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 calendar days, counting portions of days as full days. Therefore, the applicant would have the ability currently to rent any of the residences for a period of 30 days or greater. But in this case, the applicant seeking approval for nightly rental, which would allow for rental for periods less than 30 days. The applicant is seeking nightly rental as a Division 3 commercial use and not as a special use permit. Per the provisions of Appendix P, Section 8, nightly rentals are a commercial use and must be permitted as such. Nightly rentals constitute any condominium or townhouse that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days in duration. Assurance of classification will be made through the filing of restrictive covenants when the plat is recorded. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for a nightly rental shall be two persons per dwelling unit plus two persons per bedroom. The staff recommends that if the Planning Commission approves this request, that a condition be placed on the approval requiring lot owners to abide by this condition. 19 lots will be served with public sewer via the Taney County Regional Sewer District and public water via Taney County Public Water Supply District number 3. It's a little hard to see here. It is my understanding that the majority of the infrastructure was put in place a number of years ago. You can see both sewer and water pipes and various infrastructural components as you drive the roads down there. The access for Woodbridge Estates Phase 2 is provided via South Fork Drive off of Lakeshore Drive within the Lakeshore Drive Estates subdivision. And so essentially you have to drive Lakeshore to South Fork and then down in order to currently access the subdivision. Per the nightly rental provisions of the Development Guidance Code, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each two persons of occupancy in a nightly rental. Again, the staff recommends that if the Planning Commission approves this request, that a condition be placed on the approval requiring lot owners to abide by these minimum parking requirements. The adjoining property immediately to the north is the Lakeshore Drive Estate subdivision. The adjoining property immediately to the south, first off, is the remainder of Woodbridge Estates Phase 2, and also the Mount Branson McFarland addition being located further to the south. The adjoining property to the east and west is primarily vacant. The project received a total score of -4 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 41. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, utilities, and traffic. If the Taney County Planning Commission approves Division 3 permit, and that should actually say 2015-23, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Revenue, and the Taney County Regional Sewer District, including all of their entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Third, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of the Certificate of Compliance. Four, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Five, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Six, all residences utilized for nightly rental shall accommodate no more than two persons per dwelling unit, plus two persons per bedroom. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. Seven, one off-street parking space shall be provided for each two persons of occupancy within each nightly rental cabin. Number eight, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And got a brief video of this site. And we did a 360 here near the entrance to the subdivision. You come into the subdivision right at this point. And you can see that at least a portion of the infrastructure has been put in place a number of years ago. Thank you. And that's all I've got.
Okay. Tim, come up and tell these fine people sitting behind you what's going to go on.
SMBZ is asked to use this as to have it zoned to permit nightly rentals. On the positive side, it has public water and public sewer, which we like to see, especially the public sewer. That way, the development's not putting waste, untreated wastewater and properly treated wastewater in the creeks and in Taney Como, which is a problem in other locations. So the having the underground utilities all there is a great benefit. The disadvantage is that there's only one way in and one way out through the street that you saw there. That disadvantage will exist whatever residential use this is put to. So if it's just ordinary houses in there in a subdivision of people who living in their own homes, or if it's houses that are built and you have long-term renters in them, that the disadvantage of one way in and one way out is going to continue to exist. I checked into other alternatives. Bob, is it possible to scan out?
You'll see there's a strip of road here, or not a road, but a strip of land there, that potentially would lead down to Lakeshore Drive. And it actually is, it would be technically possible, but though at great expense, to build a road down that steep ravine, effectively over the creek bed. So it's technically possible, but practically not feasible because of the great expense of doing so. Another alternative is coming from here and connecting to Scott. The difficulty of that, well, one, we don't own the land, but presumably there's a price at which it could be acquired. And then it also, you have to build over the ravine. It's one of the shots that Bob showed us showed contour lines, and from that it's evident that it's quite steep. And I, as I discussed the connecting onto Scott, the Scott Street with Steve Creedon, he had considered it. He felt that it would be cost prohibitive because we have to build over, we have to build over the ravine, even if someone gave us the land to do it. And so again, the positive side is you have all underground utilities. The downside is only one way in and one way out. I checked without success because I wanted to know what are the to see if there were any traffic engineering studies to determine the traffic volumes of an ordinary residential neighborhood where people are living in their own homes as compared to a neighborhood with nightly rentals. I wasn't successful in it. So my purpose was I wanted to be able to show the board that nightly rentals don't create an increase in traffic volume over any ordinary residential subdivision. I didn't find a study one way or the other, so I don't actually know how a nightly rental affects traffic volumes. And I apologize, I couldn't find a study on it, and we didn't have the resources to commission our own.
Anybody got any questions for Tim?
Since you have a variance on your setback of 10 feet from the property front property line, yeah, that would put your front of your building about 25 feet from the edge of the road.
Correct. That's right. It moves, pulls all the buildings when they're built. There are no buildings currently, but right, when they're built, it will pull them all closer to those to the roads,
yeah,
and further away from anyone outside that subdivision.
How are you going to handle your parking if your building's going to be so close to the road?
Mm. Yeah, it would have to, on the top side, the parking spaces would have to be hammered in. You'd have to get an excavator out with a rock hammer and cut into the hill on the upside. And then on the downhill side, you have to put in fill. That was one of the reasons for reducing the setbacks. It means you'll have to hammer less on the uphill side and bring in less fill on below. The number of parking spaces required are actually written in the development guidance code, so we're not disputing that those set number of parking spaces would be required based on the number of bedrooms, and I think it's perfectly reasonable to have that.
Are the roads now set for county standards today?
I don't know.
That's not a question today, because they'd have to have curb and gutter today, but that was
the width you think is there?
Pardon me?
You think the width is there?
Oh, the right-of-way width is there, yes.
50 foot?
including the cousin dirt.
This has already been approved to prior standards.
Yeah, but we're changing the use now from straight houses to nightly rentals.
That's correct, yeah. Yeah. It is, I'm looking at the plot. It is a 50-foot right-of-way.
Well, that Jamie Road wasn't approved back in 04 or what?
Let's see. Yeah, here's Jamie, and then here's Woodbridge Estates. So they're really seeking.
The road to the right is called Jamie. Is that what I seen?
Yeah, this one's Jamie.
What's the other
here.
Side?
And this one's Woodbridge Estates here.
I can see why it was originally just platted into three lots because of the terrain.
Are the lots all going to be sold separately to different investors, or are they all going to be owned by one person?
The idea is for SMBZ to sell them to different investors with the hope that also SMBZ would be able to build the house for people for the different investors on the lots.
So we're going to have numerous nightly rental companies involved, more than likely.
More than likely, yes. Steve does intend to standardize services such as trash pickup, so you don't have multiple trash trucks coming in, but create restrictions that force everybody to use the same trash service. And also maintain the properties well, because if someone put in a property and they didn't maintain
it'd be the same people maintaining it.
We impose restrictive covenants in the deeds to make sure that people did maintain the properties well. Because if somebody buys one of these lots and then doesn't keep up their nightly rental, it diminishes the value of the other properties that Steve's trying to sell.
Who enforces those? Restrictions.
Yep. They go into the deeds, and so long as the developer, actually, Steve, SMBZ can enforce them.
As long as they're really the majority owner.
Yep. And actually, and even after he sells them all out, the person who wrote the restrictions and put them in the deeds can always enforce them. They can also be written in such a way that other property owners also can enforce them. That is to say, both the right to enforce and the burden of the enforcement run with the land.
So you don't plan on setting up a homeowner's...
No, it's simpler just to do it with restrictions written into the deeds themselves. Does that make sense? You don't have to draft it.
There's nobody going to pay to do that. Those other property owners are more than likely not going to take those people to court.
They might.
Enforce those rules.
They might not.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens.
Very seldom.
Who's so all these houses is being owned by different people and going to be having all different people coming in there. Who's going to assure that these homes are maintained and kept up? Is that going to be some company that does that comes out and makes sure that things is...
I hadn't thought of that point. My experience has been that the people who have nightly rentals have a financial incentive to maintain them well, much better than if the people who have private homes, because you have to have it looking well, otherwise you get bad reviews on Airbnb and VRBO. So my personal experience with my own clients has been that the people who own them maintain them well. If it was a sticking point with this commission, I can easily come up with draft set of covenants to be written into the deeds, which would say that we'll set up a particular property management firm ongoing that would be responsible to maintain all the exteriors of all the properties, such as the yards and trash.
Well, if you've got 19 houses and there's 19 different owners, mm-hmm. somebody's going to have to... come in and maintain them, because they're not going to be probably even living right in the state, right?
Correct. Most likely out of state, I think.
Yeah.
It's easily done. Other developments in the area have that. where property, the whole subdivision permits nightly rentals, but yet each property owner is required to contract with a particular property management firm to keep up the yard and so on. That's easily written. And if the commission wanted to see that, we'll stipulate in advance that that's an acceptable condition, that we will impose such deed restrictions on all the property, if you wanted to see it.
Okay, anybody else got any questions for Tim?
What's the ownership situation on that easement-looking thing going mm-hmm. off to the left side there?
I think it's actually, from the best I could tell, I think it's owned by Rudy Arambulo, who's another attorney here in town.
Owns the easement? Owns the ground?
Owns the ground. I don't know if it's an easement or not. Okay. Somebody may simply have a very strange shaped fee simple ownership down the middle of the ravine.
Yeah, I don't know. You could build a road there. I mean, you could. It'd be really costly. I've been in that ravine.
We're talking to one on the. You talking about the one on the left side?
Yeah, where it goes across up there.
Mm-hmm. Coming all the way down to the lake shore.
If it was usable, I would have already asked him about, I would have already made an effort to buy it from him.
Is there a square footage requirement for the homes to be built?
If it is, it's minimal.
It would have to be county standard.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
What are the county standards for home size?
We don't have any.
None.
So off the top of my head, I don't know. But if there is we have not imposed a requirement yet. If you want to see a requirement, that's not a problem. Typically, my experience has been that people who have nightly rentals want to put in larger homes as opposed to smaller. The reason for that is because putting in a home of any size, you have certain fixed costs, and then the marginal cost of building an additional bedroom is minimal compared to the fixed cost of having all the plumbing and the bathrooms there.
So conceivably, you could have 19 houses down there with 6 bedrooms.
Yes.
Which will be how many?
A bunch.
Say
14
per house.
14 per house.
Yeah, it'd be 14. That's correct.
So that's going to be
a lot of cars.
7-8 cars per house.
Hell.
I don't think they'll be building 6 bedroom houses, but
no.
That's necessity.
How big is the lots?
The lots vary in size from 1/2 acre to 2/3 of an acre. No, I take that back. Most of the lots are 1/3 of an acre, but they go up to 2/3 of an acre.
Ones on the north are big lots because of the steep terrain.
Yeah. Unusable in the back.
Yeah.
I do think the terrain probably limits the size of a structure that anyone could economically put on them.
About when was the infrastructure put in, the sewer?
I think based on the plat, I think it must have been put in 2005 or 2006.
Because the water service district is number 2, not number 3.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else got any questions for Tim? Everybody good? Okay, Tim, if you don't mind, sit down. We'll talk to Robert. Help me with that.
Hansel on.
It's like Hansel and Gretel, but Hansel with an on. It's spelled H-A-N-Z as in zebra, E-L-O-N. I'm here to speak in opposition to the nightly rentals. I did not, prior to coming here this evening, fully understand the size of this request. And the one thing I'm asking in my mind is, what's the difference between this and putting in a gigantic motel. It's 19 units for a motel in what is a family residential area. Everyone that would have to come in has to come in past all of our homes. Most of the people that purchased in this area and have lived there for numbers of years purchased on the basis of it being a quiet neighborhood, based on families and family values.
Can you tell me where you live, Robert?
I live...
I'll have somebody get some more of them.
Yeah. It won't work.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's up there.
Yeah.
Okay. Just past the fork in the road, which the old Yogi Berra fork in the road, when you come to it, take it.
As was mentioned, downsides, additional traffic. Now, with 19 units, if all of those are occupied, and you figure two cars to a unit, which may not be enough, because I think somebody say something about a six-bedroom unit. Well, let's see. How many parking spots is that, Mr. Atchley?
That would be...
Do you have a calculator?
That would be seven.
Okay.
If it was
on a third of an acre or two-thirds of an acre? That doesn't sound reasonable. In that this is a residential area, and those 19 lots are a commercial venture. I know that as we speak of nightly rentals in a residential area, we kind of slough the word commercial, but it is a quasi-commercial venture. The other thing is that if there are 19 owners, or up to 19, they have no skin in the game for our area. Their motive is to make money, minimize expense. That doesn't help us, doesn't help our property values. Just the fact of the additional traffic in a commercial operation in a residential area is a negative to prospective buyers. The other thing, that road, is there a name for that road that goes from South Fork down to the slippery bottom?
There is. I'm not positive what it is being open with
okay.
yet. Okay.
But
I
that,
haven't seen no name on it.
I'll tell you what,
yeah,
that's a good downhill slide if you want to do any winter sledding.
Through here.
That's great, especially for larger vehicles. I know some of the fire trucks are four-wheel drive, but four-wheel drive on ice or slippery leaves doesn't increase traction. Turning for any sized vehicle is minimal. I know your vehicle is a small four-wheel drive, and you just barely, in the cul-de-sacs, were able to make the turn. So that's another thing, is just the size of the roads. South Fork and North Fork, and especially the entry to South Fork from Lakeshore Drive, if you put two vehicles passing, it is a tight squeeze, especially when you get near mailboxes. For individuals who are not accustomed to the neighborhood, this may be a little bit foreboding, and we may just lose a few mailboxes. Of course, who has to foot the bill for the new mailbox? And as I mentioned, there's the negative, potential negative effect on our property values. We are and have made big investments for many of us in this neighborhood. Now, with the declining economy and some of our other investments and retirement funds not growing as we had anticipated, we're looking to conserve principal. That means the value of our homes. So to approve this also has an economic detriment to each and every homeowner. And if you're to prove this, the onus and the burden is ours, and we have to live with that burden. Now, I know the ability to own land is a right. The indiscriminate use of land is not. I understand the desire to make money. We've all had that. Many of us have done well with it. Others have scratched and scrambled their entire life. But for us, this is our home. This is the family neighborhood. I drove here with two guys that came over to my house through the backyards. We would like to be able to have our children and our grandchildren, when they come, feel safe in a residential family neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, John, you're going to have to tell us your last name, too.
It's not that hard. It's just Nettleton.
My
name is John Nettleton. I live at 299 South Fork, which would be...
I thought I was looking at two L's.
Right here, which would be the main way they come in, is right in front of our house to go down to this road. I think I agree with everything that Bob said, but the thing I think I'd like to emphasize is the safety issue. We have young kids. It's already a challenge sometimes in neighborhoods to keep people alert of the kids, but to have people that aren't familiar with our neighborhood and our kids and know one another, I think that creates a great risk for the safety of our kids. Not to mention that just knowing your neighbors and knowing who's being in the neighborhood, because it is a residential area, not knowing that, you know, we bought into this thinking, you know, this is a neighborhood, not a motel, condo, rental, where we have people coming from all over the world to stay, and they're not familiar with our families. Like Bob said, as a family-oriented neighborhood, I think the biggest challenge and negative of this is a safety issue more than anything for our families and our kids, of just this type of operation going in or development creating this kind of issue. So that's my concern on top of what Bob already listed, as far as if you understood the terrain down there, it's going to be a real challenge. And, I mean, there will not be any trees left to be able to create this. There won't. It'll take a lot of to be able to create those kind of parking spaces and those type of structures. It has a lot of negatives, I see. And so I definitely am in opposition of this as well, so...
I was looking at my stuff here. Did you show us where your house was at?
Yes, I did. It was right.
Well, I apologize. I was looking at
there. All right. It's right here.
Okay. You're on South Fork.
Yep, 299 South Fork.
Bob's on North Fork.
Right. So our house, our drive right in front of that would be where everybody comes through.
Yeah.
And so, and we have young kids, and sometimes it's a challenge for just the neighborhood to keep them slowed down and just make people, but people are aware of that when you live with them. They're more in tune to slow down if you say, hey, could you, do you mind being careful? But people that aren't vested in our neighborhood, they don't have that same respect. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Billy Org?
Org.
Org?
I've been called maybe to leave that. Billy too.
No, my name is Billy Ong, and I live next door to him. So it's 329 South Fork. I can tell from that. I think it's this one here. So anyway, I've lived there for going 25 years. I've been there for 25 years. Oh, I need to talk to them. Yeah, I had the same concern. You know, I think it is a, we had a neighborhood garage sale, what, a month ago. And my wife, we were at church, and one of the things that we talked about is biblically that say, love your neighbor. So who is our neighbor? So she purposely went around the neighbor because we have a lot of widows. We have four widows that that lost their husband this past 14 months. And it's interesting how everybody take care of everybody. My wife spent a lot of time with, you know, Rex, I don't know if you know Rex, what's Rex? Grady. Rex Grady. And but there's several people that, because it is a neighborhood. And I don't know, I work for the Hershen Family Entertainment. I did there for 27 years. I was the head of planning and developing. So I understand a lot of stuff, what he was saying. But I think what's interesting with this is that as you look at this thing, you think about a lot of stuff. Tim, what's right? By trade, I'm an architect and engineer. It'd be crazy. It'd be really expensive to put a road there. So the chance of a road ever going to come in this small area is probably slim to none, unless somebody's going to spend the money to do that. And then the other thing is, if you notice, it is not that big an area. I can see when Bob was saying he's on the north side, we all spent our time just driving there around because that's what we do. It is a neighborhood. It is not that big. And there's only one way in and one way out. That's going to be one of those things that I see that, you know, I know he said he doesn't have a traffic count. For the Hershen family, that's what I do. I had to do the plan developing based on capacity. We study and study and study. And, you know, there's a lot of unknown that he shared, but Reno. He said, well, whether or not we're going to be residential or not Reno, we're going to have the same capacity in terms of traffic flow. Well, you guys all have the same concern, the same question when he was up here. It's interesting. Just listen to what you just asked, because you're getting ready to do that in our backyard. And so that's the thing that you got to think about. When I hear all this concern, I'm thinking that's a real concern that you guys have. And by the way, Ashley.
Yes.
You know, I know that in the beginning, the presentation, they got a negative four.
Yes.
For something. Can you explain to me what is it that it's a negative four from? I mean, what is that rating? Can you tell me a little bit?
Excuse me. on each Division 3 permit, the Development Guidance Code calls for the staff to score each proposal. It's scored on a number of different factors, and the score is not an absolute for the Planning Commission. It's really to serve more as a guide.
Sure.
As far as these are some of the concerns or also some of the positive aspects. Sure. Of a project.
So is a negative four, is that a good or bad? I don't understand.
Well, we've had proposals that have had a higher score. We've had proposals that have definitely had a lower score as well.
Okay.
And then the items that received a negative score were these items: emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, use compatibility, utilities and traffic.
Okay. All right, that's good. I did not know what it was. All I know is if you go look at the plan, let me see. Yeah, there you go. Randy, I know you're in the fire. I don't know. In developing a lot of plan, you got to have provide a turnaround for the truck, emergency truck. So I don't know how in the heck they're going to do an emergency truck out there. I know that.
Usually Randy's here and he would take care of that. He's not present.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the rest of the development, there's a, you know, is a even though the street width is pretty minimal, but it's one of those things that they can get in and get out easily. But this thing here would be a catchy, would be a challenge, I think, for the Western Taney County. Let me see. You know, Tim mentioned earlier about developing the property if we don't upkeep the Nutley. He's concerned about, okay, they're going to be taking care of their own stuff. And you know what's interesting is you're talking about devalue. What do you think is going to the value of our property would be if this happened? Think about that part. You know, he's concerned about, yeah, you're right, he's probably this. But because you have 19 owners, it's like I think you mentioned. It's the highest one is going to do this. With anything out there, it's just when number one, the guy that is Steve Green, he's really hoping that he has created a job. Hopefully, he gets the contract to do the construction. And but he has no what you call. He has some kind of ownership, but really, he have 19 ownership. So, and they're really not, like someone said earlier, they're not really 19 ownership because the 19 ownership is from everywhere. They're not from here. So I think the question about the value is going to be an interesting point. Sorry, I'm reading my note. I didn't even know about this until Bob, who goes to church with me, tells me, are you going to the meeting tomorrow? I thought it was in Lakeshore Drive, this thing, not Lakeshore Drive Estate. So I brought this guy. Let him know today what's going on. And I don't know, but I know Tim is probably right about the width of that street, but I've driven that street, and it is a very tight street. So if you're going to have people parking in there, and there's 19 whatever numbers, that is going to be one interesting street to be at. And I think, you know, as a property owner, they're just – too many concern from traffic, from value, from a lot of stuff, and I just I'm against this. And the other thing, I don't know. I asked this to Bob before we got here. I think every home there is a single family home. Is someone that actually living there and is not renting in for? You know, I think those are the things that. You know, so I think not only that you're going to introduce somewhere to a small area, but it's a locked land area. It is a dead end. The only way they can get out is a South Fork. So, and by the way, I really thank you for listening to us. And I know as George probably said, sometimes you can't understand what I speak, but I don't speak well. That's why I had to read what I say. But and I thank you again for listening to what are the concern for me, for my family, and for our neighborhood. Thank you. Good
night. Thank you. William Carter. I got that name right.
William Carter. I live on 310 South Fork, which is right here. And one thing I'm concerned about is it's the traffic and the size of South Fork Road. It's barely wide enough now without taking out mailboxes, you know, when two people meet. And another thing is I was wondering, this is a natural creek bed coming through here, and it's a raging river when it rains. These lots are not as big as they claim to be because this is off of this side is like 45 degrees straight down to this creek bed. This is uphill. Now, how are they going to build on these lots when it's on a 45 degree angle going down to a creek bed that's a natural creek bed? That's what I'm wondering. what are they going to do with the water? And there's not enough room to put a decent house on any of those lots. I was at the meeting when at REMAC when they first were building that subdivision, and they told them, they said they're going to put them on slabs. I said, where? There wasn't any place to put a house on a slab in there. But they went ahead and got it approved, and of course there's not been anything built in there. The reason why is it's really not a buildable lot in this place, except maybe here, without hauling in a lot of field. And then, like I say, that's a natural creek bed going through there, and it comes through there pretty good when it comes a good rain. And like I said, this road here is barely wide enough to get in with two people meeting each other. So I really don't have any problem with the nightly rental. I've seen them in other places, but I know they're going to build houses in there one of these days. Somebody is. But those lots are deceiving. They're not that big. They're not buildable, by the way. So that's about all I have to say about it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, William. Mark.
Marcus Fadden. I've lived there for over 27 years in the neighborhood, and I purchased the property and built my own house there. And we built there for the reason because it was such a nice, quiet neighborhood and very serene. There's a lot of older residents that live there. And I don't need to go on to any other, reiterate what everything's been said, because I'm opposed to the development. But I do want to remind everybody that there are a lot of older residents there. And they use this road section, which is basically just called our Circle Drive, which is North Fork and South Fork. They use that as their own track, basically. They walk their dogs, they exercise. And that's the only form of exercise, basically, they get. So, you know, when you have a development like that, not only residents of that development for nightly rentals, but also all the construction, the time it's going to take for those small roads and for those folks to be able to have a place to feel safe to walk and utilize that quiet neighborhood is going to be very, very discomforting to them. And so I hate to see that happen to them, you know. So I just want to let you guys know that I'm also opposed to the development, and along with my friends and neighbors that are here tonight. And I wish you'd consider that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Tim, you want to come back up? I've got a question for you. I don't know if anybody else does, but we was talking a while ago that you got 19 houses that you're going to put in here. They're all going to be 19 different owners, probably. Some of them might buy two of them. I don't know.
Right.
But we're going to say they're 19 different owners. Then who's going to come in and maintain and clean them after these people leave the nightly rentals? Because I think in our code, we've got a deal that, Bob, that you've got to be within an hour or so many miles or something in it.
Yeah, you have to have somebody within who lives in the community, effectively somebody who lives in Branson who looks
yeah,
after
I think
it.
We've got a mileage thing or a time code.
I'm trying to remember how it's termed now.
So is that something that all these 19 homeowners is going to, you're going to tell them that they're going to have to use these people that's within that time limit? Or
we can. Typically, in the properties that my clients own, no private person has to tell them that they're required to have a property manager within a 15-minute drive or whatever the radius is, because it's actually written into the code. So whether it's in Taney County or Stone County, the rules are almost identical. And all the people who are my clients who have nightly rentals, all of my clients happen to live out of town. And all of them also, without me telling them or without anyone else telling them, they have property managers who live near the site in the area, because the local codes, both the Stone County Code and the Taney County Code, require them to do it. It would be the same thing if they were in the city limits. If they were in the Branson city limits or Hollister city limits, they'd have to comply with almost identical. And we have no problem putting that in a deed restriction and even setting up an organization to force everybody to have a property manager near the site. But they're going to have to do it anyway just by the local law. I don't think Taney County has ever done it, but Stone County enforces that with criminal penalties if you don't comply by having a property manager in the area.
Okay, that's all I need to know. Did you find a time on that, Bob?
It doesn't really designate an exact distance or anything. It's just worded that the owner of the property shall designate a local representative. The local representative shall be available on a 24-hour basis, 7 days per week. The local representative may be the owner, a property management company, representative, agent, designee, or other person employed, authorized, or engaged by the owner to manage, rent, or supervise the nightly rental.
If we was to, can we put that in there?
Earmark it for February.
Yeah.
I mean, we really could.
That's my request, earmark it for February.
Now, the one thing it does say, it says the local representative shall maintain a residence or permanent place of business within either Taney County or the counties adjoining Taney County, and shall be available on a 24-hour basis, 7 days per week.
Okay.
As a practical matter, a lot of people make their living just by managing nightly rentals that belong to somebody else. And there, I have some favorites that I would...
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that they was here, not four states away, you know.
If I may be permitted to address the concern about security, the people who come to nightly rentals, because of the cost of renting them, the rental price is anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 for a week if you're going to rent a house and for your family in the Branson area on a nightly rental basis. And because of that price, you're not having low-income, drug-using transients who camp out there for a week. These are the only people who can afford them are effectively upper-class and upper-middle-class people. Otherwise, they just wouldn't have the money to stay in them. And so I myself, when I travel, if I can possibly stay in a nightly rental, I do, just because of the convenience. I like them a lot better than motels. Again, you're not having a crime-ridden transient population coming into these shops. Thanks.
Okay, anybody else got any questions for Tim? Okay, thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening.
What's next Monday? 15th? 16th? 16th.
Uh-huh.
Regular meeting.
Thank you.
You folks that spoke on this tonight will be doing the finalize next Monday. You're welcome to come, listen, but there won't be no discussion. But you're always welcome to come and see how things turn out. Okay. Next Monday. 6 o'clock, same time as like tonight. Yeah. And you're welcome to come and sit and listen. And we thank you all for coming out tonight. Okay, we're down to 274 Foggy River Road Rentals.
Okay, this is case number 2015-23. The project is the 274 Foggy River Road Nightly Rental. The applicant is Valerie Whiteman. And this is located again at 274 Foggy River Road. I'll kind of zoom in here.
Hey, Randy. Go out there and ask him to step on around the corner or something. Thank you.
This is located in the Oliver Township. It's Section 12, Township 22, Range 22. And here's the property. Of course, we've got the north, south, East and West Views. The applicant is requesting the approval of a Division 3 special use permit in order to utilize an existing one-bedroom single-family residence and also an existing guest quarters attached to a three-car garage for nightly rental. And so there's one bedroom in the residence, and there's also one unit or bedroom guest quarters in this structure as well. Per the assessor's information, the single-family residence was constructed in 1985. However, the staff has been unable to locate a Division 1 permit authorizing the construction of the single-family residence. Per the assessor's information, the single-family residence is 1,673 square feet in size. On March 9th, 2005, Division 1 permit 0582 was issued authorizing the construction of a 30 by 50 building to serve as both a three-car garage and then with a small bedroom to act as a guest quarters. On September 20th, 2010, the Planning Commission approved Division 3 Special Use Permit 2010-19, allowing for this property in question to be utilized for nightly rental. However, on November 10th, 2010, the applicant at that time, Thomas Alsop, contacted the planning department to notify the office that he had sold the property and would not be recording the decision of record. The applicant, Valerie Whiteman, is now seeking the Planning Commission approval of a new Division 3 special use permit authorizing the nightly rental of both the existing one-bedroom single-family residence and also the existing guest quarters attached to the three-car garage. The current application was approved for concept on October 19th, and the applicant has provided us with a view here. This is essentially the single-family residence with the single bedroom, and then we also have the three-car garage with the single bedroom and kitchenette area. The subject property is approximately 1.78 acres and is described as lots 1 through 4, Block A of the Riverside Estates subdivision. The property in question contains an approximately 1,673 square foot one-bedroom single-family residence. Whoops, I'm pointing to the wrong one, and also contains a three-car garage with a guest quarters as well. As you know, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building, structure, or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 calendar days, counting portions of days as full days. Therefore, the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater, but is now seeking to rent it for periods of time less than 30 calendar days. The exterior appearance of the single-family residence and the garage will remain the same. Per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, the maximum occupancy for a nightly rental shall be two persons per dwelling unit, plus two persons per bedroom. Therefore, the two bedrooms would have a maximum occupancy of six people. And actually, in thinking of that, I would probably have to revise that because it would be two people per bedroom, but we really have two separate dwelling units.
So will that mean that there will be four people able to sleep in the garage?
Basically, in the guest quarters, yeah. The property is currently served by public water via the Missouri American Water Company and also public sewer via the Taney County Regional Sewer District. The property is currently served by an existing drive off of Foggy River Road. Per the parking provisions, it requires one off-street parking space for each two persons of occupancy in a nightly rental. And so I had originally put that as three parking spaces, but in reality it would be four. But they have, they of course have the three-car garage, plus a large parking area as well behind the wall here. The adjoining property immediately to the north is Lake Taneycomo, with the vacant light residential property being located further north. The adjoining property immediately to the south is Foggy River Road and residential. And the adjoining property immediately to both the east and to the west is the flood buyout property that was acquired by Taney County via FEMA funds. The project received a total score of 8 on the policy checklist out of a maximum score of 33. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of right-of-way on existing roads, emergency water supply, and solid waste disposal service. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this Division 3 permit, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Three, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department prior to the issuance of the Certificate of Compliance. Four, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Five, this decision is subject to all existing easements. Six, and I probably really need to revise this the way it's termed, this the two residences shall accommodate no more than 8 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. And seven, the 274 Foggy River Road nightly rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. And number eight, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days of the approval shall expire. And we've got a pretty brief video here. Oops. Let's see if she was... And this is, of course, the guest house or guest quarters, and then the single family residence.
Okay, Valerie.
I'm Valerie Whiteman. I don't have anything further to add, but I will welcome questions on the property and the project.
Is there any remodeling plan for the inside, the buildings before using it? I mean, are you not planning on putting in another bedroom or anything?
The main cabin has had a year and a half of remodeling inside of it already.
Already had that?
Yes.
But how many bedrooms are in?
One.
And it's going to maintain one?
Yes.
Okay.
And the guest quarters and the garage, it has not been totally remodeled yet. The nightly rentals will first just be with the main cabin, and then as we remodel the guest quarters, it will go back to the same footprint that it had before. There are two very large closets in that guest quarters, and we are wanting to bump out the wall of one of the closets to make that a second bedroom. But if you would like us to just keep one there like it always has been that's on that drawing, that's fine too. So we want to just keep it as a very quiet, serene place. We've had many people ask us if they could come and stay there. And we own another property just down the road, a home that we live there half of the year and are going to be retiring down here on that road. So we'll be right there all the time.
Anybody? Got any questions?
It's got great fishing.
So adding the additional bedroom, that would change the requirements for occupancy, correct?
That's what I was thinking as well, because we do have the...
For me to establish that prior to us approving...
Well, we don't want any more people in there. We don't want to have a whole lot of people in there.
Because we will stipulate there will only be the one bedroom.
Well, we'll just let them sleep on a sofa. If two men want to come in the guest quarters and one have the bedroom and one can sleep on the sofa, really, we only plan for just, I think you said originally, six people for the whole area, combining both homes, and that's really all the people we plan on being there.
Because if later... at a later date, you decide to bump out that wall and make a bedroom, it would require to come back in front of us for this additional bedroom, right?
Really would if she looked at an additional occupancy.
You're planning on doing that, you need to do it now.
You need to get approval now.
I see. Okay. Well, what do
get
I
have
to do?
Your building permit, and then we would permit or...
Well, let's just say they're both going to just have one bedroom and we won't worry about it. So we'll just leave it the way it is. We're not planning on it being a real busy place. We want it to just be a quiet fishing place for people to just come and enjoy the nature.
Anybody else got any questions? Okay, we'll see you
next Monday.
16th Monday.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Okay, the Martini Nightly Rental. Martino. Nightly Rental. Come on up, please. Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I signed up to talk about the 274 Foggy River.
Carol. Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Carol?
Yes, sir.
Yes, come on up.
My name's Carol St. Peter. I live at 180 Groton Street, which is two rows above.
Sorry.
Up in here.
Okay.
I also own property here at 723. My family owns property here, 723 Wisconsin, which is right above, one tier above where the 274 Foggy River is located. You pretty much have heard what the other gentleman said about the other nightly rentals. It's the same thing, except this is already an established residential area. There is no commercial zoning. There is no nightly rental in Riverside Estates. There is a condominium that, as you cross into Riverside Estates, that was established. But Riverside Estates, when the Woods family originally broke that up in the 70s, and along with a local Branson lawyer, took over, and they plotted that exactly for residential areas. When my parents moved down here originally about 40 years ago, there was only one house on the road. This is before Johnny Morris even found out our hidden little secret down there when he was building all those houses, which is one of the ones that's in question right now. But everybody that's lived there, there are homes that are for rent there, but they're long-term rentals. They're at least yearly rentals. We all have a stake in that it is a residential section. There's safety. There's security. It's a peaceful neighborhood. It does not have in and outs. And there is two ways in and out, one down Acacia Club or one down Iowa Colony that turns into Acacia Club. But in order to get to Foggy River, you still would have to come along all through the residential area to get down here, either coming from Acacia Club, which would be up this way, or from Iowa Colony, which would be from up the hill. I just would like to point out that while Woodbridge request was, you know, I understand that they're just developing theirs. This is already built. These people, we've built our homes here. When I retired from the Army, I bought property here in like 1987, but I held on to it until I retired from the Army in 93 and built my home here in 96. And it was residential. It was primarily at that time, it really was more of a, I guess you'd call it a senior retirement area. But that demographic has changed now. There's because of age and people moving and getting elderly and moving out or passing away. We have about a 50-50 demographic of young families with children that walk, and I walk too, so I'm on the elderly side. I use those areas to walk in. And I just ask the board to reconsider or to consider that this is residential. It wasn't meant to be commercial when they originally built the area, when they plotted the area, when they did all the things that they were supposed to do to Woods Farms when they sold it back in the 70s. It was supposed to be residential, and I would really like to keep it that way. Because once you open it up for commercial for one thing, nine times out of ten, a lot of other commercial businesses try to get their foot in the door. I'd appreciate your consideration, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, I'm sorry I overlooked you. Martino, Nightly Reynolds. Will you come up here, please?
This is case number 2015-24, and it's the Martino Nightly Rental. The applicant is Patty Martino, and the representative is Barbara Edwards. The property in question is located at 615 State Highway P. We'll zoom in here on that. It's in the Oliver Township, Section 36, Township 22, Range 22. And, of course, we've got the four different views of the property. The representative is seeking the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 special use permit allowing for the nightly rental of the existing three-bedroom single-family residence. Per the assessor's information, the single-family residence was constructed in 1992. However, the staff was unable to locate a Division 1 permit authorizing the construction of the house or a septic permit authorizing the construction of the on-site wastewater treatment system. Per the assessor's information, the single-family residence is 1,651 square feet in size. The representative is now seeking the Planning Commission approval of a Division 3 special use permit, again authorizing nightly rental of the property in question. the applicant has applied for the special use permit with the understanding that the new property owner will be required to once again seek the Planning Commission approval of a new Division 3 special use permit. The current application was approved for concept on October 19th. The subject property is approximately 1.59 acres, and it is a meets and bounds described piece of property containing the 1,651 square foot single family residence and also the detached two-car garage with a carport as well. Of course, as you know, the development guidance code defines nightly rental as being a period of time less than 30 calendar days. The representative has indicated that she's receiving a number of inquiries concerning the zoning of the property, in which possible buyers have been interested in utilizing the property for nightly rental. The current applicant is applying for a Division 3 special use permit with the understanding that if the property sells, that the new owner will be required to again seek Planning Commission approval. The exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same, and then again, the maximum occupancy would be two people per bedroom and two people per dwelling unit. Therefore, the three-bedroom home would have a maximum occupancy of eight people. The property is currently served by a private well and an individual on-site septic system. October 29th, the on-site wastewater permitting staff conducted an on-site evaluation of the septic system. The on-site observation proved to be inconclusive as to what or where the septic system is located and what size and specifications were utilized. However, there were no obvious signs of failure. Since that time, Ms. Martino has also indicated exactly where the septic tank is located and the approximate location of the leach field as well, which is behind the garage in a flat area there. The on-site wastewater staff has recommended that a riser be placed on the tank and felt that that would be helpful in possibly pumping the tank in the future. The property is currently served by an existing drive off of State Highway P. Per the nightly rental provisions of the development code, again, it would require one parking space for each two persons of occupancy. Therefore, a total of four spaces would be required. And, of course, this would exceed those requirements. You would have basically two here, one in the carport, and a number of parking spaces in the driveway. The adjoining property immediately to the north and west, this area here, is the Branson Canyon condominium development, and this development actually was approved with the understanding that a percentage of this would be utilized for nightly rental. The adjoining property immediately to the south is light residential, with the storage units being located further to the south, and then the adjoining property immediately to the east is vacant, and of course to the west is State Highway P and Branson Canyon condominium. The project received a total score of negative 12 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 29. The relative policies receiving a negative score consists of sewage disposal, emergency services, emergency water supply, and solid waste disposal service. The staff recommendations on this, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this Division 3 permit, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. First, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Second, compliance letters from the Western Taney County Fire Protection District, the Missouri Department of Revenue, and the Environmental Division of the Planning Department, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department office. Three, a valid Missouri Department of Revenue sales tax license shall be provided to the Planning Department office prior to the issuance of the certificate of compliance for the septic tank serving the Knightley rental home located at 615 State Highway P, Hollister, Missouri, shall be pumped at a minimum of annually. The applicant shall provide a copy of the pumping contract to the Planning Department office. A riser shall be installed on the existing septic tank, ensuring adequate pumping access. 5, in the event that the on-site wastewater treatment system begins to surface, showing signs of failure, the property owner shall either repair or replace said system, ensuring capacity for the total number of people that may be accommodated via nightly rental. 6, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. 7, this decision is subject to all existing easements. 8, the residents shall accommodate no more than 8 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District requirements and regulations. 9, the Martino Knightley rental has been approved as a special use permit. Therefore, the permit is specific to the applicant to whom the permit is issued and cannot be transferred without Planning Commission approval. The special use permit shall not be used to establish commercial compatibility for or with any future land use change applications. And 10, this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder of Deeds office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. And we've got a short video here. Did a quick 360 right at the entrance.
Pardon the leaves. I didn't rake the leaves for her. 1.59 acres, look. I noticed the other lady hadn't raked
them.
Yeah. The other lady didn't rake her leaves either, I noticed. We were up there today, and it's real pretty. Should have had you go on the second deck to get the lake view. That's why you'd see it be a good nightly rental. It was a beautiful view of Clevenger Cove.
Too much else. And this, and the, then this, this is the area where the septic system's located, back in this flat area, back behind.
Talking about the area where you keep spinning that arrow in circles.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. Anybody got any questions?
Are you planning any kind of signage on the highway on P?
I'm just the realtor. Whoever buys it's going to come back to you and answer you those questions. I'm just trying to get the permit. I don't think there would need to be any signage on that.
It's going to be hard to find that little driveway right there.
Well, you just tell them it's right past the high line wires. That's what I tell everybody. Right when you get to the high line wires, turn left. Halfway down the hill.
So we're okaying this for you to...
To sell it.
Somebody to, for them right. To come back for us to okay it again.
Right. I'm just the preliminary to see if it is a possibility.
It's an exercise in futility.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It was an interesting evening. I was just enjoying this.
I understand what you're trying to do, but in times like this where we've had properties come before us, and it depended on our decision. It was just the realtor wrote it up with a stipulation that it had to meet that. And I don't know, we're not giving you anything unless...
Giving me an opportunity.
You're the one that's doing it. Only thing we're giving you, if you bought the thing, you would have the right.
Right. Now that's all we're asking for. Because I've had three realtors call, you know,
maybe
about that.
To prove consistency, we would vote again the same way, but not necessarily.
Well, that's true. And, you know, that would have to be written in the contract, too, that it passed this date, but we can't verify it'll pass this date.
I've been here a long time, and I've never really approached this problem like this before, and maybe it's something I need to learn. I don't know.
I didn't know what else to do because three realtors called and said, if you get it zoned, I might have a customer, but they won't even tell them about it till I get it zoned. And, you know, like you say, it's not a guarantee. Things could change by next summer.
It isn't a zoning, really.
Right, it's just a permit. It's a permit that I have, but it's not transferable. So I understand, and it'll be in the contract that way.
Okay.
Somebody else will see you, and it could sell for a real house or a single res. Yeah, you wanted to be sure I understood.
I just wanted to be perfectly honest with you and view my feelings on this.
Sure.
So you are the owner of the home now.
Oh, no, I'm the realtor. I'm with Keller Williams. I'm Barbara Edwards, the coach. The owner is in Virginia. She's in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and she just keeps saying, why haven't you sold my house? It's been 6 months. I've got to sell my house by Christmas. I said, this is the only other way I know to go at it.
If this passes, then she will be the recipient of the nightly rental.
No, the new owner will have to come back and apply.
Well, but right now she would.
Oh, right, yes.
So she would have the option.
Yes, she could do it if she wants to, but she doesn't. She wants to sell her house. I've told her, I said, hey, this is a good deal. You ought to just do this. She goes, I want out. I'm in Virginia. I don't want anything to do with it. So she wants to sell her house. I'm the realtor, and I appreciate your time and efforts, and at least I know there's a possibility.
And I realize you're doing your job. You're trying to sell the home. I'm not arguing that at all.
Sure, yeah. There's nobody else calling wants to move their furniture up 20 flights of stairs. So I thought this would be the best thing to do with that lake view.
Anybody else with questions?
That's all I got.
Okay. We'll see you Monday the 16th.
Okay, thank you very much. Have a good week, guys.
6 o'clock.
Okay.
Gotta be on time.
Any tentative business we want to talk about?
I was going to give everybody an update on Ronnie Milton, or what we know at this point. His wife called me last Thursday and actually said that he was doing really well, thought that he was going to be, he had been in intensive care, but thought that he was doing much better. Then Benita received an email today, and I guess he's not well at all. Gave everybody a copy of the email that she'd received.
Did she say what he went in there for?
She didn't really say. She didn't, and I guess he's...
I have never heard.
I guess he's been in and out of the hospital 3 or 4 times the last month or so.
It was originally pneumonia, wasn't it?
Well, that's what Robert told me, but I feel bad because he is a friend of mine. And I would have went to see him, and... if I knew that he had been in now the hospital. But anyway, it's kind of a shocking news.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Ronnie's a good person. Did you have names with them?
Jeff Hawkins. He lives at the end of Southport.
Is that just the one, the both
tax? And then the other one that received notice lives on Jasmine.
Can you put that in there, it being just text to us that these people could not be here tonight on the
against.
Lakeshore deal?
Evidently.
We got text from them, and we recognize that they're opposing it.
He lives adjacent to where that foundation is.
Can we put that in the minutes?
Story.
That we was...
Yeah, right there.
Plus the letter we got from the other gentleman.
And then...
But these two that we got
the
text...
The other individual is the party.
Randy got the text from...
Sent me a long-winded text.
I'd like to see them on there just so on the record that...
This is Woodbridge against.
Opposed.
Creighton. Yeah. I mean, only thing you build is a slab on grade, and you can't get much of a grade on that.
I still have concerns with the square footage.
Well, that's the road. They're going to be three bedrooms and probably 1,100 square feet.
Yeah. If that?
Yeah.
Yes.
And how are you going to rent them for $2,000 or $3,000?
You still could have a hat, and you could still have three or four cars on each one of them lots going out that road.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're supposed to be talking about on this, but I can't in good conscience put in commercial development with one little old road going to it.
Well, it's like they said, the roads are too small now.
That's why I wish Randy was here.
Well, the road is the road. And somebody can put houses on that thing.
They can.
And that's the way it goes.
And they'll probably put 1,000 square foot houses on there.
They probably will, but they'll only have him and her going to work every day, and they won't have two or three car loads of somebody going to see the shows and going to dinner. And I see three or four times more traffic flow with this kind of a development than I do with single family.
Absolutely.
I don't think they're going to sell 19 homes.
I don't see much of a traffic flow.
Yeah, right.
I see the potential for it.
Yeah, potential, right. Maybe.
Yeah.
What does that do for comparables in the residential?
We don't have enough nightly rentals in the area in a saturated deal neighborhood like that. Really,
it doesn't affect.
It really does.
We've had where the subdivision was built strictly for that.
Steve Redford. But the compatibility here is zero.
Yeah, then it's comparing to the area, houses in that area. We don't have anything like this, really, that I can think of.
So that really wouldn't be an issue then.
Well, I think that it probably would be a detrimental effect.
If they had another way in and out, it'd be a different
deal.
Yeah. That would help a lot.
They could isolate themselves from that subdivision.
You need to go back down there and do that little project at the end of Acacia Club.
And the representative indicated
the way we had suggested to do it. Right. And then that deal would fly, but he's not going to build it. You know, he's going to build these houses for, you see a sign up there, $49 a foot, and he's going to sell them for $150 a foot. That's what he's probably planning. But, you know, regular residential house is going to be $80 to $120 a foot. Realistically.
Ding, 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 you win the prize.
You know?
Yep.
But, you know, he's not going to make those margins like he could. Well, geez, you can do this nightly rental. Man, it'll make you $3,000 a month, and your payment's going to be $800.
And then in 5 years, your slab on grade will be down at the bottom of that ravine.
You'll have to put carpet on all the floors to cover up the cracks.
Well,
I've shown a lot of his houses.
Well, I understand.
From what he's,
you don't have to explain this situation to me.
From what he's talking about, as far as building the houses as big as he thinks sold,